Today on Real Life Radio.
You follow the sign, you obey the sign, and go do what it's telling you. You get this? I don't need to follow Jesus, I got baptized. You only got wet. There's more to it than that.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the book of Philippians with a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3. Here now in Philippians chapter 3, Paul reminds the Philippians to keep rejoicing in the Lord and warns of those in the church who do not belong to Christ. You see, true joy is linked to the unshakable and unchangeable truth of the Bible. God's Word is measured out to us in direct correlation with how much we devote ourselves to it. When we not only believe what the Scriptures say, but understand its meaning, an inner joy comes into our lives. The telltale sign of an enemy of the Bible is their lack of spiritual joy. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that combat faith is a faith on purpose. This means to worship God in the Spirit and to rejoice in His Son Jesus for all that He's done in our lives. We're not to trust in ourselves or listen to those who say they are Christians, but only seek to benefit themselves. And now with his message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Judaizers were people who said, yeah, you can be a Christian, believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. You all agree to that. And do this. The moment you hear the word and, run. And I'm not kidding. The moment you hear that, watch out, because they're adding to the plan of salvation. I'm going to get letters on this from people, not so much you, but those that might hear it on the radio. Pastor, don't you realize that we are to submit to our leaders only if they're biblical? But this person, this founder of our movement or our denomination was a champion of, stop following people. Bible. Interesting. Listen, here you go. If you're not offended, how about now? All the cults and legalists have this in common. They have a works-based salvation. They have the and. Oh, we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as long as you, who are they? Jehovah's Witnesses. Nice people. But they are the and. Mormons, really nice people. But they are people of the and. Jesus died for our sins. And after you've done all that you can to save yourself, it's a joint effort and you get to make it in. Judaism. You know any Jews today? Ask them, what are they doing about their sins? Where are they sacrificing animals for their atonement? Oh, we don't do that anymore. We believe and. Islam. What is salvation in Islam? Everybody's talking about the glories of Islam. Are you kidding me? Ask a Muslim, how do you get saved? Ask a Muslim to confess or to admit their sins. What do they do for atonement? Oh, it's good works and. Oh, we believe in Jesus. He was a prophet. That's it. And we do this. All cults, all false religions have the and in common. 100% true. If you like it or not, it's true. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, the Bible says, I will continue doing what I have always done, says Paul. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Paul, so subtle, huh? Isn't he? When he references beware of dogs, it's an ironic statement. It's very amazing because these Judaizers called those who did not obey them, they called them dogs. Traditional Judaism calls Gentiles dogs. Dogs were not like your puppies today. Dogs in the Middle East, many times still now in the Middle East, dogs are not pets. Dogs are wild animals like our coyotes running around these hills. They tear things apart, they eat trash, and they'll kill things. They're scavengers. Are you with me? They call Gentile dogs, and Paul, the Jew, who is now born again, he turns and says, beware of dogs. The real dogs are those who do this. Matthew 23:15. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, Jesus said, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win one single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Jesus said that. How's that for a memory verse this week? Jesus said, watch out for legalists. Paul says, watch out, beware of dogs. Tremendous statement. Then he says, watch out of evil workers. Watch out for them. Be careful, evil workers. What is this, evil workers? The word means those who teach, those in a spiritual setting who are depraved. Isn't that sad? Depraved. They are depraved. The word means injurious. The word means toxic. Watch out for toxic spiritual people. Depraved interests, injurious motives, toxic goals. Watch out for them. I love the apostle. He's just laying it down. Paul calls them evil workers. This is very volatile language, no doubt about it. So watch out for them. And you have to stop right now today, in a real practical sense, you have to stop and ask yourself, who are the dogs in our culture or the dogs in my life or on my street or those who are peddling religious legalism? Do you remember when Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Does that scare you? It shouldn't scare you. Have you read it? Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh my goodness, well, who can make it then? These guys, they're professionally religious people doing everything. Jesus is announcing to you their doctrine is wrong. They do all that they do, but they're in error. They do not do it out of love. They do it out of religious obligation. And Jesus said they do it to be seen by people. And they know not God. Okay, look at this one. I don't know what to do about this. I'll do the best, I guess. The next one is mutilation. Beware of the mutilation. So what does that word mean? I'm afraid you're going to ask that. It means what you think. Paul says, beware of those who are of the cutting. The word means to cut away, to remove by cutting or shaving. The word means to cut down or to cause mutilation. He's talking about those who would say, here's what you have to do to go to heaven. You have to be circumcised as a male, as a man. You need to have skin cut off. Oh, really? Seriously? Gee, wasn't that biblical? Yeah, sort of, if you leave that at the definition. But it's more than that. First of all, write these notes down. Don't miss this. Paul says here the unthinkable to the Jewish mindset. And I want to give you Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to set us up. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men. The traditions of men. Traditions. Just write that down. Because listen, in your life and in my life, traditions attack us. Traditions in our heads. I've got to do this. Why? Because my parents did it. Is it biblical? It doesn't matter. My grandfather did it. My great-great-great-grandfather did it. Watch out! Is it of God? Colossians is warning us according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Number one, watch out for what's traditional, only embrace what's biblical. So the legalist or the Judaizers taught that by the cutting away of the foreskin of the man, he would be saved. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Do you know anybody who says if you're baptized, you're saved? Same exact difference. If you just join our church, you'll be saved. You were born into this family. You're saved. Heresy. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. If there was any exclusion, if there was any out on that, Jesus would have said so. They were guilty of misinterpreting the Bible and exalting the traditions of men over the Word of God. So here you go. We're going to just rush through this. Get ready. Genesis 17, verse 10, starting there. Listen carefully. I'm going to test you. This is my covenant, God says, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child you shall circumcise, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins. The cutting away of skin that has no feeling. Okay? It's dead. And, are you looking? Are you mark this down. It shall be a what? Say it again. It shall be a what? The word here in Hebrew is monument, beacon, mark, token, indication of the covenant between you or me and you. Verse 12, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and the one who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Number one, be careful. Is circumcision the answer, or is it a sign? You're not very convincing, and this is deadly critical. God didn't say circumcision saves you. God is saying it is a sign, a monument, indicator, a beacon, a mark. For what? When you go down the freeway and it says, beach city, next left, or whatever. You see a sign, let's keep it biblical. So there's a sign on the freeway and it says, In-N-Out Burger, next exit. Are you going to pull over at that sign and start eating? Are you going to start chewing on the sign? Are you going to sit there and look at it and say, that was good? You say, well, that's ridiculous. Exactly. You follow the sign, you obey the sign, and go do what it's telling you. Do you get this? Well, I don't need to follow Jesus. I got baptized. You only got wet. There's more to it than that. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. How do you do that? Now listen, if circumcision in the male private parts is all that's necessary, then what in the world is God talking about? Are you with me? He says you got to be circumcised in your heart. And the heart of your descendants to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4. Circumcise yourselves, which is impossible, to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. Now that is possible. Your heart. Your heart is to be circumcised first before there's any outward sign. You are to come to Christ first before you're ever baptized. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. For circumcision, or you could say baptism, is indeed profitable if you keep the law. If you can keep the law, right on. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if any uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision, if that's the way you want to look at it? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? In other words, he's saying what's cut away of the skin is meaningless unless it's in your heart. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Wow. Nor is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh. but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. This is brilliant. Beware of legalists. Beware of people who say you must keep their rules. No, rather be circumcised in the heart. Colossians 2:11, in him you were also circumcised. Did you know if you're a Christian, you were circumcised? With the circumcision that was not made with human hands? Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which he was contrary to us, and he has taken them out of the way, nailing them to the cross. It's a matter of the heart. Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says, of these legalists, I could wish that those who trouble you, that is, trouble you in this area, would even cut themselves off. I love Paul. What's he saying? This is exactly what he's saying. So, you guys are all upset because these bozos over here have upset you. They said you're not really Christians until you get circumcised and keep all the Jewish feasts and regulations. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about these people over here. Not personally. These people over here. Here's the deal. They go around saying you need to be shaved, cut off. Okay? Let's have them be really holy people. Let's cut the whole thing off. That's what it means. Emasculation. Cut them off. They say trimming and cutting is holy? Listen, cut them off. I like him. So watch this. Are you a legalistic person? Let me ask you. If you pray longer and more and you feel more holy and righteous before God, well, as soon as you find out that your neighbor next to you prays longer, now you're all bent out of shape. Oh, are you really holy because you put $10 in the plate and the guy next to you put $15? Now he's more holy than you are. Are you with me? Yes. I'm telling you this because I want you free. So, are you circumcised? Well, listen, and no one's ever asked this question before. I'm making this up right now. This is the first time ever before in the ears of man. So, I'm circumcised and I'm acceptable to God. Are you? Yes, I am. You are. Well, how much did they cut off? No, come on. How much? How far did they go? This is what Paul's point is. They want to talk about cutting, taking off the flesh. Paul says, cut them all off. Cut them, just make them super holy. Listen. If you're a legalistic person, that's where the Bible says, those who compare themselves among themselves are never wise. You're never to compare yourself with other people. It's so frustrating, and you'll never have joy. Listen, do you want your heart circumcised? Do you want the flesh of this world cut away? Praise the Lord. That's what he does. But the moment you get caught up in legalism, I would counter you today and say, well, how much of you did they cut off? Let's weigh it right here. Because if somebody comes along and they have their 1 ounce more than you, then you lose. Are you with me? Someone's more holy. Oh, I don't need Jesus. Oh, yes, you do. I'm pretty good. You know what? You have been weighed in the balances and you've been found lacking. I cannot save myself. All of my righteous acts before God are as filthy rags. I can never match up to God's standard and enter Christ. He does. So beware of people who try to put a yoke upon you to meet up to their standards. It's hypocrisy. Jesus hates it. The Apostle Paul hates it. The Bible condemns it. Is your heart circumcised? And Paul, with his glorious ending, says in verse 3, combat faith is joy on purpose. For we are the circumcision who? What is the answer? Who worship God in the Spirit. Do you love God? Do you love to worship Him? Number two, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Is Jesus all you need? Or do you need others? It's Him. Thirdly, we have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, please be liberated now. Please be free from this. Listen to the answer that He gives. Watch. Beware of dogs. Okay, what do I do? Well, because you've been circumcised in the heart, worship God in spirit. That's the answer. Beware of, how am I to ward off these legalists? The answer is worship God in the spirit. Watch this connection. It's brilliant that He puts together. Beware of evil workers. Well, what's my response? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Well, what about those who are the mutilation? Ah, the mutilation. Have no confidence in the flesh. Do you see this amazing correlation? He gives you three condemnations to the legalist, and then He gives you three answers as to how you're to live your life. Simply this: worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and don't trust in yourself. There's nothing you can present to better your position before God. You come to Him in absolute love for Him and all that He's done for you. And you celebrate Him in spirit and in truth. And you rejoice in Jesus because He's going to get you through to the end. Listen, you will not fall short. You keep your life open to Him and you have your faith in the combat mode because you live in a wicked world. Don't let anyone rob your joy. There's one rule to keep, and that's to love God with all your heart. You love God with all your heart, and no one has to talk to you about keeping rules. The rule keepers would do well to follow you in your love for Christ. Father, we thank You for Your liberating truth and power. God, Your holy and awesome word. And if we would just be honest, we must confess it is overwhelmingly true that any man or woman today that would think, well, that I'm just better than other people, have established a standard of fools. There is no scorecard on earth. There is no measuring rod made by man. Father, I pray, beginning with myself and this entire church, Lord, that we would walk in the Spirit, worship You, that we rejoice in You for all that You've done. What a tremendous statement. It doesn't say pray about rejoicing. Your word doesn't say think about it. Your word doesn't say maybe someday we can. Your word commands us rejoice. Hallelujah. Because God, You've done it all, and for that we have no confidence in our flesh. Only by losing do we win. Only by surrendering is there victory. We thank You, God, and we pray it now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, hey, everybody, you know that we are excited about always presenting and encouraging you to get a good book in your hand. Nothing beats the Bible, obviously. But outside of that, this one, I believe, is one worthy of every pulpit, pastor, congregant. Everybody needs to read the book written by Eric Metaxas. Eric Metaxas has written a letter to the American church, and I want you to definitely get your copy. It is fascinating. It's prophetic. It's historic. It's current. Eric Metaxas has done an amazing job in speaking, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to the current church in America and where she needs to go and what she needs to do if she's going to be a witness. Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas.
That's Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas. And that's Pastor Jack's book of the month for the month of January. You can pick up your copy of Letter to the American Church for a gift of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.